Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Thursday, March 14th. One of the most controversial Democratic gun bills at the State House is now headed to the governor for his signature. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
High-capacity magazines to 15 rounds. It's an issue lawmakers have spent hours debating, and on Wednesday, Democratic Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora made the same case she's made for weeks.
This bill is all about saving lives and making our community less dangerous. I tell you that enough is enough.
Republicans are unanimously opposed to the measure, saying it won't protect the public but will disarm law-abiding citizens. Republican Representative Frank McNulty of Highlands Ranch says it's his Second Amendment right to own a high-capacity magazine.
It's not whether I need a 20-round magazine or I need a 30-round standard-capacity magazine. It is my right. It is my right to have that standard firearm that is in common use, and you don't have the right to take it from me.
The House had to repass the measure after agreeing to Senate amendments, and the governor told House Democrats he would sign the bill. A measure to require universal background checks for all gun purchases is headed to a conference committee to work out differences between the versions passed by both chambers. Three remaining gun bills are still moving through the legislature. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The sale of guns and ammo spiked after President Obama was first elected in 2008. And have been off the charts this past year in response to high-profile gun violence and a renewed push for tighter legislation and restrictions on gun sales and ownership. KVNF's Brian Cambria recently discussed these issues with one gun store owner in Grand Junction.
Last week, I spoke with Jerry Stamen of Jerry's Outdoor Sports in Grand Junction, who's owned his store for nearly three decades. He began by talking about his recent gun and ammunition sales, which have been unusually high.
We sold so much stuff here in the last 2.5 months that it's a staggering amount, and our shelves are virtually empty because the system, all the ammo manufacturers, firearms manufacturers, a lot of them are saying they're 1 and 2 years behind now if they deliver all the product that is on order.
And that's ammo, you say?
Ammunition and firearms.
And firearms.
Yeah.
Huh. So you say it's been going on about 2.5 months?
Yeah, it started in about, 3 days after that Sandy Hook tragedy.
And a lot of people who are coming in, they're buying, it seems like they're buying 223 ammunition mostly. That seems to be what's flying off the shelf. Anything else going off the shelves as well?
Oh, it's more than 223. It's 9mm, 40 caliber, 45, 22 long rifle, 22 magnum. 223, 308,
Now, a lot of that's hunting ammunition, some of it's handgun ammunition. Someone told me this morning that a lot of the 22 long rifle and magnums are going because people expect to be able to use it as trade items.
I think people just want to make sure that if there ever was a financial catastrophe in this country, which I think we're basically on the verge of anyway, ammunition could be used as barter. It could be used as harvesting your own game so you have something to eat. You just never know what's gonna go on. I'm not a doomsdayer, but I do believe in the end times, and I believe that things could get tough. Food could get hard to get. Ammunition could get hard to get. The government could step in and stop the production of and save everything for military or police use.
Can you describe what some of the folks are like that come in the store in the mornings? Are they certain, for lack of a better term, are they fit a certain profile, or would you find them to be a wide range of people?
Oh, it's a wide range of people. There are people that believe in their Second Amendment rights to own and possess a firearm, that they can defend themselves, they can go hunting. The Second Amendment says nothing about hunting. Mm-hmm. This is about protecting yourself and protecting yourself from bad people. All this legislation that is going on doesn't do a lick of good, because criminals are criminals and bad guys will always be bad guys, and bad guys don't obey the law. to me, it's more about controlling the law-abiding citizens and more government, more control, more involvement in our lives. And that's not what America was about. Honestly, I'm fearful for America as I know it. I'm 57. I have 7 little grandkids that I just fear will never know America as we know it. I'm very, very concerned with the fact that this country is just turning to socialism on a very fast pace. Why even these so-called progressives, I don't know what they're progressing for, but we can look at Europe and see what's happening in Europe. Europe has run as fast as they can towards socialism and big government, more government, government control. And look at the state of the European Union. They're broke. They're broke. And we're steaming towards that. What are we doing? We can see that socialism doesn't work. It's proven socialism will never work. Capitalism and democracy is the only way to go. But these people continue to want more and more and more government in our lives. You have these college kids that come out and they say, okay, I've got a degree. I want a job. I want $100,000 a year. I want a 401k. I want my insurance. I want a retirement package. You know, I built this business right here. I'm in my 28th year. I virtually was dirt poor. I'm a high school educated, but I've done everything. I've worked hard because the American dream is you work hard and you make good choices and right choices, you're going to have something. Now I have something. I have my own building for the first time. I moved in here 6 months ago. And for that, for our president to stand, nothing infuriated me more last summer than for him to stand up there and say, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. You know what? That comes from a man who's never had a job in his life. He's been at the government trough his whole life. He's a community organizer. What the flip is that? I've never heard of a community organizer. That man wouldn't know what it was like to wake up every morning, come down here, unlock the doors, and know how to meet a payroll.
For Stamen and many of his customers, a deep-seated distrust of President Obama connects the dots between the Second Amendment, the economy, and government control. As gun legislation works its way through federal and state chambers, it seems certain that firearm and ammunition sales will continue to climb. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.
The first of 3 meetings to create plans for a multi-use sports facility in Paonia will be held Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at Paonia High School. The meeting will bring the high school together with the town of Paonia and a citizens committee in a grant-funded planning process that will span 5 months. Community members are urged to bring ideas and questions to the meeting. According to the Delta County Independent, the planning process is being funded by grants from Great Outdoors Colorado and Bear Ranch. A second meeting is planned for May 24th, with a final meeting in July. Greater Sandhill cranes have traditionally flocked to Fruit Growers Reservoir in Eckert every spring, with as many as 18,000 cranes resting and feeding at night before taking off on thermals in the mid-morning on their way north. Although there have been reports of the birds using the Escalante State Wildlife Area on County Road G west of Delta this year, Crane Days in Eckert is proceeding as usual. Sponsored by the Black Canyon Audubon Society, Crane Days takes place this weekend, March 15th through 17th. Activities include refreshments, presentations, and a winery tour. Naturalist Evelyn Horn reports that last night there were only 12 sandhill cranes at Hearts Basin. She adds that there were 3 tundra swans, 2 bald eagles, geese, and ducks, too many to count. As antler collectors travel in the backcountry in the search of fresh sheds this coming spring, Colorado Parks and Wildlife reminds them to avoid stressing wildlife still struggling to survive the cold weather and the lack of forage. Although most collectors are responsible, state wildlife officers occasionally receive reports of people on motorized vehicles chasing elk or deer herds in hopes of getting a fresh pair of antlers dropped by a startled animal. Colorado Parks and Wildlife reminds the public that harassing wildlife is unethical and illegal and can result in significant fines for violators. Some areas of Colorado close to all human activity during winter and into early spring to protect the wildlife. Violators can be fined by wildlife officers for entering and collecting in closed areas. By the end of winter, the bulls and bucks will shed the extra weight of their antlers to conserve energy as they await the spring green-up. Soon after the weather warms, the growth of antlers begins anew. Wildlife managers suggest that to avoid stressing animals during this time, keep your distance and consider searching for antlers on foot or horseback instead of a motorized vehicle. And that concludes your local newscast for Thursday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.